The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Woo! Welcome, Ali Sadiq, to the Dana Cortez Show.
Yes, sir.
I know you're exhausted.
I'm good, though.
I'm so glad you're here, though. Thank you for taking the time, sir, to come in here.
Thank y'all for having me. I'm ready. I'm hype. I'm here now.
Well, I know. Well, I was reading your bio, and I know you're from Houston. I knew all of that, but I wanted to see what kind of extra stuff they had in there. And it says, Ali has been on very big podcasts like the Joe Rogan podcast. I was like, well, thanks for coming for our little show. Joe, I was like, oh, can we get a mention in the bio? Damn. How you get that? You know?
That's the Johnny Carson right now.
That's
true. I've been on there four times.
Can a little Mexican woman get a mention in the Ali Sadiq bio? Shit, we can't get nothing. All right, so talk to me a little bit about, you know, Houston. We said we had a connection there. You're on the radio in Houston?
Radio 1, Magic 102.
Shout out Magic 102, yes. Which, by the way, has been running it for a minute.
A very long time.
Houston. Yeah,
look, you know how radio ratings go. Sometimes we down.
I know.
Oh, we know.
I know.
They don't never tell us when we up. They always come in at, hey, we need to talk about this 10 share that we have.
Yeah.
What? The 10 share?
Yeah. No, we need 25.
Ali, we need a 3 share. We need to be like this. It's crazy.
It is
radio
crazy.
Is different.
It's different, I think, because they want, you know, the way they rate the system is unfair or whatnot. But do you still get excited? Because you're doing stand-up. You're in front of live audience. When you're on a mic, it's the same thing, basically.
No, it's not.
You don't feel like it's the same thing?
I want to hear the difference.
It's not even close.
Talk to me. Because radio
and stand-up is two different things.
Andy's a stand-up comedian, and he does radio. Tell me the differences.
Okay, this is the difference. The country shut down.
Yes.
Mass majority of comics had no idea what to do because they couldn't perform just sitting there talking.
That's right. No, you're right.
I literally had to train comics how to sit there and just talk.
Because you already have that down.
I wasn't even on radio yet.
Oh my gosh.
I got on the radio 3 years ago during the pandemic.
Oh my, because you had that skill already.
I can talk to myself. Most people can't talk to themselves. To be on the radio,
you have to
be able to come in there and talk to you. I'm with somebody who's been doing radio at exactly the time I've been alive.
Oh, wow.
He started radio October 21st, 50 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
His birthday is October 17th. October 16th. My birthday is October 17th.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's 20 years apart from me. He started radio the day I was born.
That's wild. You know what's funny?
Insane.
You said you know how to talk to yourself. The other day I was upstairs. I was literally talking to myself. He came up. He said, who the hell are you talking to? It's my husband.
Yeah,
myself. When I need to say something, I'm going to say it whether somebody's there to hear me or not.
This is Funky Larry Jones. This is him. I come in the studio. It's like I thought he was interviewing somebody. I walk in there. It's just him. I'm like, I looked in the window. I saw you talking. And you just you. And he was like, he had the headphones on, everything. There wasn't nobody in the room but him.
Sometimes I'm like, does she have the AirPod on? Who's she talking?
He wasn't doing a break. No. He wasn't recording. Recording anything. He was just sitting there, you know, and I said, and when the person, I'm like,
Ali, it's a skill. Like we just said, it's a skill.
Or a mental
I'm a
disorder.
Comedian. Do you know how many times I talk to myself?
Oh, I can't even imagine.
And then I have, I don't know, it has developed over the years. It's increasingly gotten worse. Like I have these panic attacks.
Oh no.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's just, my mind goes to, I'm having a good time and something in my mind say, hey, you know you can't breathe. Like, I'm fine.
And then
my mind is like, no, bro, you can't breathe. I don't know, somebody suffocating you.
Oh, my gosh.
This room is too small. I got to get out of here.
Do you talk yourself down?
In order to control a panic attack, one, you got to be cold. You got to get cold. Instantly, you got to get cold stuff on you.
Okay.
Sour candies work.
No, cold. You got ice. You got to get your body. Get down.
All right.
And you have to talk to yourself.
And that's the only way to come out of it.
Just imagine being on a plane and you got to get, and the plane is too small. Mm. And you can't, your mind is doing a lot of crazy
things. Goes to a whole different place that you can't control.
And you got to have a conversation with yourself.
Tell the attendant, throw some ice on me.
Hey,
do
man,
something.
I'm about to rip this exit door off and jump out this plane.
Help me.
And like, no, you're not. Like, this is, hey man, go to the bathroom, get you somebody, sit down somewhere. And I'm literally in the bathroom, sit, feet on the toilet, body in the sink,
And for anybody who's never been on a plane, the toilet is about as big as we are.
So you got to sit on
the... I'm not kidding.
You got to sit...
Yes.
You got to put your feet
like
on
this.
The toilet and sit on the sink.
Yes.
And I got ice. I just want ice on me. If that lady would open that door, I'm like this. It looks crazy, but I need it. Like, I know this looks crazy, but if you don't want that exit door open, you better leave me alone.
You just said panic attacks. Do you think this stems from your childhood? I mean, I had a pretty rough
life.
You think it's just life? Did you have a good childhood? Did you grow up with, you know, both mom, dad, everything was cherry all the time?
My mom, they back and forth, but I don't give, you know, I went to school for psychology, so I don't feed into these. Once you mention something, that's the diagnosis for everything.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, everybody is... They need a mental health day. Everybody needs a mental health day. Like, every single... Nah, man, sometimes you need to just chill and try to go through things. Mental fortitude in this country is slowly spiraling down. Nobody has the mental capacity to deal with things anymore. They just... I'm just over it. Right?
You got to work through it. You got to keep going.
Where's the mental toughness that was before us? The generation before
you,
us?
I'll be honest with you. I think that... You know, we talked about this, that the U.S. has more people suffering from some type of mental illness than anywhere else. Well, let me tell you something. I know.
We got
Ollie,
time to worry
we
about.
We got time.
This.
When you're poor and hungry and you don't have time to think about how sad you are. I mean, you got to find purpose in your life, Ali.
People told me that I grew up poor. I never understood.
I didn't know I was poor either.
Who
so
knew
I went
that?
To school
now,
and told me.
Now everybody says, man, I grew up poor. You did not grow up
you
poor.
Didn't know?
You grew up like everybody else that was around you. You didn't know you was poor, so how is this all of a sudden this dynamics of poor all of a sudden?
I knew I was poor because when I went to school, people told me, you're poor because I
the same
I didn't
people
have
that lived around you.
That's how poor I was. I had the same pair of pants on for 1 year.
You're poor. And you got the same pair of pants on. I got the same pair of pants on, too. Because
we live in the same neighborhood.
But I'm not poor, but you're poor. Like,
maybe I was just weak and they made fun of me. You know what I'm saying?
They had it.
But you're right. I used to play outside in the barrio. All the pit bulls, everything. I didn't know. And now I'm like, oh, I don't want to live in that neighborhood. Damn it, I grew up in that neighborhood. What's wrong?
So,
what's wrong, you know?
Everybody's from a hood. It's all short for neighborhood. It's pit bulls. Okay, so you deal with pit bulls and there's 1,000 shih tzus in another neighborhood. You got see the thing is, they try to make the pit bull make you poor. You know how much a pit bull costs?
But they were all over my neighborhood.
And
we had one,
tzus.
Too. We had
shih tzus everywhere.
There's an army of shih tzus everywhere, dog.
Y'all don't go skip over the shih tzus to go right to the pit bull. The pit bull make us poor, but the shih tzu is classic.
If you got a Pomeranian in your purse, you're not poor.
If you got any type of animal in your purse, you're not poor.
Like, that's true.
Because I think that you can't have an animal and be poor because animals eat too.
Another mouth to feed.
I've talked about this. Do you remember that big red Purina bag of dog food? Okay, my nana had one and she would just open it for all the neighborhood dogs to come eat.
That's why y'all had all them people.
Yeah. That's why I only had one damn pair of pants,
y'all,
nana.
Y'all wasn't poor.
Because you was feeding the neighborhood dogs.
The dogs like, it's a rich family dog.
Big ass red
bag. Bring all the people.
Oh my God. All right, talk to me about Houston. Like, you know, what's happening in H-Town right now? I love when Drake raps about Houston. Obviously, he's not from there, but he's embraced it. He got his own day. Do you have a day in Houston yet?
February 23rd.
You do?
Wow, salute to you.
Yes.
That's great. Great. Drake ever been into your studio? You ever talked to him or anything?
I'm not in the rap scene.
Really?
Radio, R&B, I'm mostly
you in the sexy
I'll be
scene.
Sure,
yeah.
And, you know, Route Your New Edition. I'm not in the rap scene because I don't deal with fake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't deal with no fake. I don't deal with no fake.
What you mean fake? What you talking about?
Because see, there's a difference when you a street person. See, people got to go back. I'm 1983.
Okay.
So this is
some
before. This is before.
Before hip hop was
really
big.
Yeah,
before negative rap.
Yeah.
This is when we still figuring out the first breakdance moves.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I've been around since hip hop started. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even hip hop yet. It was rap.
You're the same age as hip hop. You just said
exactly the same age.
I get it.
And it wasn't hip hop yet. It was all the cultures hadn't been merged yet. So it wasn't graffiti and MCing, that didn't happen at the same time because DJ came in later. So it's DJing first, then rapping, then dancing, then the artistry of clothes and hip hop. Then it merged all to hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been around from the beginning, but I've been hustling in the street. I started with my pops in 83. So by 88, I'm dolo with this thing. And I'm in the street. So I'm way before this gangster rap. I'm way before all that. I didn't get influenced by music. I was my family.
Yeah.
Do you feel like rap, hip hop in general has taken such a negative turn? You don't like it? Is that what you're saying?
I don't like the influence of what they teaching youth to do things that I actually did in the street that I'm not proud of.
Do you think, though, that some of these artists are just rapping about what they are experiencing or what they experience? Because how can you influence someone if they don't really want to be influenced? You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you now.
Was Pac a gangster?
No.
No,
he was not. By no means.
But
no.
I think Trey's a gangster. Okay.
I mean, no, but he's rapping about things he sees. He definitely wasn't a rich guy. He didn't grow up rich. Pac, you know what I mean? I mean, he grew up with a mother who had issues. He rapped about that. I mean, sometimes speaking what's happening doesn't necessarily convey that that's your life, but you can go into these neighborhoods like we talked about, and there's things happening. You know, I mean, so.
When you're a person that was actually making the things happen, it's different.
So you feel like because you went through it, you don't want to influence someone to go through that because it's not good. It's not good.
Talk about it. If you talk about it in a glorified state, you're going to push people towards that.
But if you're real about it, like this sucked, my life sucked, and what I did wasn't good.
Like Bigger Than These Bars, my special, Bigger Than These Bars or Domino Effect, or anytime you ever hear me talk about a situation from hood, it never said, oh, I want to do that after him.
No, you're right. I do talk about my life in that. Today, we had a whole conversation. I said, we're talking about parents that drink in front of their kids. I said, in moderation, I grew up with alcoholism. My uncle died he burned to death in our family home. He was drunk with cigarette and the worst nightmare that my grandmother ever talked about. Talking about that, though, doesn't mean I want people to go drink.
No, but
it's the opposite of that.
But you're not talking about alcoholism and I'm getting drunk every night.
No, I don't. I absolutely do not, because I don't want for other people to go through the pain that I went through, my family went through.
When you talk to people, and this is what I do for a living. If I wasn't a comic, I would be doing this for a medical thing.
So you do have
so I would be going that way. So when you talk to people about their issues, no therapist or no counselor ever talks to you and allows you to glorify the situation that you in, because you got to heal through, because you got the situation was a thing that happened to you traumatically. Like, poor is nothing that you are, it's something that happens to you.
That's right. Yeah. And you didn't come from nothing, because we all had something. It doesn't mean nothing. We had something.
You had something. Like when I hear, dude, I'm incarcerated for 6 years. So I've watched. I know. You, most people think everybody in prison can fight. Mass majority of America can't fight. So how could all of a sudden everybody in prison can fight?
Yeah, it's not happening.
So this is the thing. This is the thing that when you have these, I've never glorified prison, but I've listened to dudes act like this is a thing. Like,
it is not a thing.
Last
place you want to be.
But that's not according to, if you talk to the, you know how many youth think that they can do this, they can do prison, because it's been talked about as it's a easy walk.
It is not an easy
because
walk.
That's how dudes rap. I did this and da 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 da. But you're not telling the details of what you do. I've heard 1,000 drive-bys or 1,000 shootouts described in a rap song. It's not the actual thing that happens.
Yeah.
They're just talking about it. They're just rapping about
it. It's like shooting somebody.
So everybody basically, when that really happens, you think that people that are out there are like motivated by it? I mean, that are doing this? Because if hip-hop went away, Ali, drive-bys aren't going away.
Was drive-bys happening before hip-hop?
Not at the capacity that they were. Theo was in prison
for 25 years. Yes, they were. Yes,
that's
they were
what,
happening.
25 and 50, two different things.
Yeah, he did, went to prison for bad, bad things. And he preached, do not do what I did. Do not walk in my path. Do not. But yes, those things were happening.
If you listen to actual hip-hop, so you got, what was the difference between NWA pulled up and I sprayed out the car. What's the difference between hearing that and Rakim saying, dude owe me some money and I came down the street, now buckshots are scraping the concrete? You can't really hear that he shot somebody unless you really listening. But this person blatantly said that he drove by and shot somebody. Yeah. So if it's not that, how did shootings go tremendously up after Colors? after the movie Colors, after Juice. These movies, more people start selling dope after New Jack City than before.
I understand what he's saying. Because,
I do too.
Because they're glorifying this lifestyle.
But that does not make somebody do that. You know what? The access to guns, we got more guns in this country than people.
But why do we have more guns? Because more people start talking about guns. Before I grew up, this is the thing.
Because they made you afraid of guns and the NRA. I'm sorry, we're going to get political here, but it's true.
And we have to.
We have to.
When I was selling drugs, for the first 10 years, I never owned a gun. It wasn't a part of it. It was a thing called honor amongst thieves.
Mm-hmm. But there's no honor anymore. There's no honor,
why is
Ali?
It no honor? Because of how people started to operate. Did you grow up? How old are you, sir?
In my 30s.
In your 30s.
Yeah.
So
At 50, I knew for at least 30 years, dudes were not walking around with their pants sagging. How did that happen? Somebody influenced their mind because you wasn't doing it first.
I know exactly what happened. When it really popped off, it was when Old Dog and Menace to Society was like...
Give it to me then. There you go. Give it to me.
It's a fact,
It's some things that were very detrimental to the community when it came out in movies. That's why I had to tell people. I was selling dope before New Jack City. Mm-hmm. I wasn't influenced by New Jack City. But it's different when it's only three people selling dope.
But In my neighborhood,
I had a guy that was doing all right selling, and he went from pushing a truck, and then he had to drop Benz on wheels after New Jack City.
Do you know how different that is?
You're right.
I'm a kid.
You can't blame. Yeah. You cannot blame these movies.
I don't know, truck.
But when I saw that Benz, I was like, maybe that job's all right.
It came from.
That's like saying you're going to blame Scarface for selling drugs. You know who you got to blame? No, Ali, let me tell you something.
You know Scarface was a flop in the movie theater, but on the streets, ask every drug dealer on the streets, Scarface was the movie that turned everything for them.
You're blaming
Hollywood. I'm not blaming
anything.
I'm telling you what happens in society.
You're right, but society demands drugs, and you cannot blame poor people for giving you what you want. This country consumes more illegal drugs than any other country in the world. We got the war on drugs. Rich people exactly bought the drugs. But here, what you're saying is you want to blame these movies that are talking about brown and black people.
I don't want to blame anything.
No. I'm going to have to push back.
I said I don't listen to rap music.
I know. Now, how the hell did we get here? You know what? Shout out to Purina Dog.
Well, it's like blaming Michael Vick for all the pit bulls
that
been trained.
You're right. But you got to blame society. If you want drugs, if you demand drugs, someone's going to supply them. El Chapo's been in jail, and the drugs have not stopped.
He wasn't the number one kingpin.
He is not. And let me tell you, as long as there is a demand, people will find a way to give you what you want. Whether you have good movies and Bible movies and you praise Jesus and all of that.
I love being that I was in debate. I got a great one.
You know what I'm saying?
When did pill pop? When did this new Percocet pill pop?
It's been happening.
No.
Once Houston started talking about lean and started talking about
nobody's drinking codeine. Nobody's drinking syrup until we start rapping about it.
See, once again, you're blaming people for that whole pharmaceutical thing.
Hold on,
got the American culture addicted, and until white people
just because
started
you talk
getting
more
addicted,
doesn't mean your point is more valid.
And when white people got addicted, now all of a sudden it is
to,
a problem.
To what? Cocaine?
My people, no, to those pills.
That's heroin. So watch this. Let's go to influence.
Okay, my people have been addicted to heroin. We've had problems in our communities for years, and nobody gave a damn.
Everybody gave a damn. It's a
problem. No, nobody cared about my Theo that would, like I said, I went to prison for all that. Now it's a problem. We got to do something. Addiction is a disease. It's been there. Now it's legal. Now they pushed it on us.
We all had to do something.
Well, Ali, of course.
Your community and my community is the same community.
They're the same community.
Same community, right? Same community.
Yes.
Now, pill popping. This opioid is a form of heroin. So I understand this. So remember, let's go to how things are influenced for people. So it's a three strike rule, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It's a three strike rule, mostly everywhere.
Yeah.
You do know if you get arrested for possession, that's a strike. You get arrested for possession again, that's a strike. You get arrested for possession again, that's a strike. You're a drug user. You got possession.
Exactly.
So now that's habitual, right? Mm. So they changed that. They changed that to when you get arrested for drugs, you are a offender, offender of something else with drugs. You got to go to rehabilitation. It's no strike against you. They changed the whole thing because so many rich white
people got possession charges.
Kids,
exactly.
They got possession charges. So things influence things. But the opioid situation you can blame a lot of things for the opioid situation. You know, and if you can't say no that blame. Music was had something to do with it, I had never seen
I
a
think
lot.
I think music has something to do with it inside the Hispanic and black culture, but I think that outside of it, it was a lot of the doctors that were pushing it on patients.
Rage and acid go together.
You know what it is? People like to get high. And until
why
we
do
say,
they like to get high, though?
Because they do, escape. Especially here. How do, we got how all does that time on our hands.
What does a 10-year-old got to escape
from? We've come back 360. We've come back 360.
Hanna-Barbera, I got to escape from these.
You got a lot of time. You got a lot of time to be sad. I'm going to take this pill so I can feel good. Americans like to get high until we legalize drugs and take control of that and deal with addiction. And the reason why we're so bored enough that we're sad all the time, we're going to keep getting high. And it's going to continue. And hip-hop has nothing to do with it.
Really?
Okay. Nothing.
All right.
And on that note, go see
we've
Ali.
Had this argument up for many, many
Molly
years.
Molly Percocet.
If you think that the culture of something and how people, that's like saying that the music at a rave has nothing to do with
acid. I don't know. All
music.
I tell you is my Uncle Ishmael always told me, until I came to terms with the fact that everything I was doing was my fault and I'm accountable, that's when he finally, after 10 years of sitting in that cage, is what he said. He said, I was acting like an animal. Until he came to terms with that, he was still thinking, blame. It's my fault. I wanted the dope. I wanted to live that way. I lived like a thief. He did some bad things. And then after 25 years, he was out and he lived a good life. But until he came to that moment and he said, it's me, not everybody else, we gonna always have the problems.
I see your point, and it's valid, but...
I'm just telling you. You just said it's me.
We have this argument a lot on the air, even, because I feel like the influence of like video games has brought a lot of shootings.
And then you're
up.
Coming back to parents, like you let your kids listen to that. We play edited music.
But then
music
people
want to
say that like entertainment doesn't have any influence on your kids, and I'm sorry, I just feel like it does.
You know who does? Your parents.
Obviously,
you sitting in there on YouTube all day. You sitting in there letting them play video games for 14 hours.
Be on video games. Be on YouTube.
Because it's easier to let them do that than raise your kids. You know,
damn, this is good. This is what I thought my morning was going to be like. This is it.
Can we talk about my goddamn show?
Mental health with Ali Sadiq. I love it.
All I know is this: it's a thing out that never was out before called an influencer.
And they're paying them a lot of money.
They pay them a lot of money to influence people to do things.
You're right.
Things without any type of
real skill.
A real skill.
So make sure.
Because what the hell is Paris Hilton? What is a Kim Kardashian?
I would say Paris Hilton is a nice woman.
where do they come from? She's such an influencer. So she influenced people to think that she created a word called that's hot.
Yeah.
But in my neighborhood, we've been saying it for 400 years.
400 years.
Saying so.
For me, it was the conviction that you said it was. Dog.
400 years.
Yeah.
400 years.
But all of a sudden, because Paris is Paris Hilton. That's hot. It's crazy. Like
I gotta agree with Ali.
If people don't influence people,
yeah, but. You got to teach your kids to not be that weak in the mind, Ali. You can't be influenced by somebody if you're educated, if you read. And I'm not talking about going to school education. I didn't go to college. I'm talking reading, educating yourself, forming a comprehensive opinion. And then fact versus what I think and trying to co-sign on what I believe, trying to find somebody who already agrees with my opinion. Let's learn and let's grow and not be influenced by nitwits.
But you know, the thing about influence goes both ways. People don't influence. Nobody. Then how do you influence somebody to do good?
That by being real and being
but
real.
You
with
have
them.
To. But the,
you it, have or, to be educated.
By the key word when we started this thing off with the key influence. Word when we started this thing off with. Why yeah. I don't really listen to rap music like that because they're not real. In order to influence somebody, positive or negative, you have to be real.
I will agree with that.
It's the whole thing.
And hopefully we can get Purina to sign up for the goddamn sponsor.
And y'all want
to
see real?
Come on the show.
Stand up live because I'm a real comic. I don't do crowd work. I don't need to talk about the audience. I do actual. I'm an actual 25 years.
Doing it right.
I've watched comedy. Transform as well. Not just neighborhoods. I watch comedy transform. I watch if there's no influencers, I watch It was one Red Fox, one George Carlin, one Eddie Murphy. Now there's 17 versions of Red Fox at the same time. There's 33 versions of another comic at the same time. So I know how people influence. I watch comics that would have never put on a wig. You know what I'm saying? But then somebody got success with it, then they went on Instagram with a wig on. Now you become a grandmother or aunt to somebody. I understand that people influence nobody, whether it's drugs or whether whatever, they influence. You get influenced by what other people's success is. Mm. Most people wasn't growing up talking about they wanted a Bentley. Mm. Just like when I was growing up, everybody wanted to be a fire.
I didn't know what a Bentley was.
But Bentley's been around.
But Jay-Z taught me.
Jay-Z told you before he even had one.
Well,
then there you go.
Because it's four things that don't go on sale in this world.
What?
Funyuns, the original Yankee cap, Bentleys, and Ali Sadiq.
Hey!
But the tickets are on sale if you want to come see. I don't go on sale with tickets. I got a whole tour going on. I got a story to tell. So in the stories, I give this things about this. I say, like, if you I just filmed Domino Effect 3 and 4. We in a series of 2. Now, I've never heard this before in all of stand-up for 25 years. 25 years I've been doing this. I've never heard of comics referring to themselves as storytellers until I came out.
Oh.
Really?
All of a sudden, I'm a storyteller too. And since when?
You're like, what story are you telling?
It's 43 years between me.
Whose story are you telling?
Because now, you know, the influence. A comic just told me this in my face, and he thought it was a comment, a compliment. Oh, man, since you put your prison stuff out there and your drug stuff out there, now I can tell my story.
How long? You should have been doing that before.
And I asked the question, how long did you sell drugs? And when did you start? He told me in 2013, and I said this, what movie, what talk show, what record, what hadn't happened yet for you to understand how detrimental this is to society? What hadn't happened? I mean, it's just my neighborhood. So everybody in your neighborhood wasn't selling drugs, fam?
Nope.
Somebody was doing real estate. Somebody had a daycare. And then when you hear prisoners say all the time, nobody ever said anything positive to me about it. I'm just in the streets. So nobody never said anything? So then they start talking. Then you hear about this one aunt that always tried to help them out. So why didn't you follow that? Why didn't you follow that aunt? I had one of those, too.
Because I was influenced by negativity. I was influenced more by the people around me than my family. I know that's hard to understand. You talked about the rich aunt. I had that rich aunt who tried very hard to get me to think like her. And for some reason, I was more influenced when influencers weren't even a thing by the negative.
And this happened with your.
It happened to me.
This is what happened with your children.
It happens. You know, unfortunately, I didn't have a dad. Like, it was a lot of things. You know, but I turned it around because in my formative years, I was told, you're a beautiful person. You're smart. And I came back to it.
Watch this.
Because those things stick in your mind more than the negative, even if you don't believe it. They do.
You said you didn't. You was out without your dad.
It's true.
Okay. I remember this lady told me that she was out without her father. I said, "What does that mean? What does it mean?" In the course of things, I was without my father. I said, "You know, it's thousands of people grew up without a father, whether they died, whether they lost them in war."
Or something.
Something happened where their father wasn't. It wasn't always a negative thing. You know what's crazy? Children respond different. Human beings respond different when your father leaves versus your father being dead.
It is true.
It's two different things.
Knowing somebody doesn't want you.
That's the thing.
Is the difference.
But
why did
they need to want you?
I don't know. But I didn't even know that until a child asked me at school, "You don't have a daddy." I didn't know. I had no idea that that meant something.
If you would have said, "My dad died," it's over.
Yeah,
it's like,
but nobody had ever talked to me about him, so I had to go home and ask, "Why don't I have a daddy?"
You had, hold on.
Ali, I didn't even know.
Nobody had the birds and the bees talking.
I didn't even know.
He was like, "I'm supposed to have a daddy?
I gotta go get on the radio, sir. You know, we were talking about this. I didn't even know."
No therapy session right here.
That was good.
Yeah, that's Gail King or somebody. Come on.
I didn't even know. I'm dead.
Oh, man.
We got to a point.
I know. Now we're here. We're here.
I haven't been doing anything but laughing and observing this whole time, but I definitely do want to say that for the Dana Cortez Show fans and listeners out there, man, Ali Sadiq, if you ever want to go see stand-up done at its highest form, the highest artistry of the craft, you got to go see Ali Sadiq, and that's what we want to send you to go do.
If you want to argue in a therapy session, come see me as well. I'm talking about, and this is how it ends. This is a, look, it starts hiding, it goes down, and it goes down, and all of a sudden, it's a breakthrough.
I didn't know.
We both didn't know we had fathers.
These no bed couches.
No sexual education at all. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was 5 when I happened, by the way. I swear to God, I remember this kid was like, "Why don't you have a dad?" And I thought, "I don't know why I don't have a dad, motherfucker."
Yeah, you fucked me up. See, I knew I had one, but I was asked, like, "Where's your dad?" I'm like,
All right, Dana, we're done. All right, that is it.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.